Fritty Reption presents Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon, on for the third time with us. We're calling this her paranormal prequel because we're trying to capture the stories before the stories she shared in the first two episodes. As we reviewed with Heidi, we've learned that most of these are not prequels, but the biggest two stories involved are. So we're going to save that big, big story for last. So we're going to actually start by sharing some things we missed or wanted to make more clear about the last episode. For me, in the last episode, I said that Bigfoot were not human. What I mean is, Bigfoot often, when you research the DNA, is half human DNA, the mom side. The dad side is unknown father, which screams Nephilim, Nephilim. Nephilim were around because the fallen angels, or the watchers, that came down to, for some reason, watch over us and give us information, and gave us too much information that God wasn't happy with, which gave us witchcraft and pharmaceutical things going crazy, and all kinds of other stuff. For example, astronomy was supposed to be good. Then astrology morphed out of it, and that isn't good. Sorry, folks.
So and yet it's weird. The watchers felt it. They needed to share about it to the people. At least that's what I've heard. And I'm like, okay, why did they do that? You know, why is it something they knew and how would they use it, you know, with that knowledge? At least that's what I heard. Maybe that's not true. Yeah. I thought that was strange.
Right. Why did they feel like they had to really go overboard? I mean, they taught us about weapons, all kinds of stuff. And I think it's because they were building their own earthly kingdoms.
And they
knew they'd be ruling over us, not part of God's plan. And part of the union or part of the agreement, part of the dominion needed to have some supremacy, permission, for lack of better words, was marrying human wives. Because that made them part of the human reality. Adam was the boss of Earth. And that's in part why the angels were jealous. So now you have these angels knowing that humans are in control. Humans have dominion of the Earth. You marry a human, now your offspring are part of that. So they start having offspring. The first The first offspring were the Nephilim. Now, even though sometimes people say the David and Goliath, that giant, sometimes people call him a Nephilim. But I first learned that the Nephilim were actually the firstborn of that union.
Right.
What came after were called the giants. Whether they were 30 feet tall or more, or just 6 foot four, and that was really tall back then, whatever the case, tall, big. And when I say tall, I mean also wider. A lot of the bones that are found actually are like 8 feet tall. So that definitely would be a giant. But even if Goliath was only 6 foot four and King David was 4 foot 11 at the time, well, that would seem like a giant. The point would be the DNA is from originally the Watcher angels that came down.
And then how they survived the flood so that Goliath could even be a giant, right?
That's a good
point. Something happened because that was after the flood, right?
Right. So. Growing up, I never considered, oh, gee, the flood happened, and the flood came to wipe out all that bad DNA. If every DNA was corrupted, then a savior could not be born. The prophecies couldn't happen. So you had to make sure Christ had a bloodline that would work. So bring the flood, wipe out all of the plants, animals, humans that were tainted by this DNA. That's why God is having Israel wipe out so many people in the Old Testament. So some say, oh, God is a murderer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to worship a God like that.
Right. Well, there was so much more sense now because we weren't explained that before. And so many people didn't get to know that. And of course, I could see where they would think that, you know, not having all the information.
Right. And I don't remember one time in churches. I don't know if I should give away how old I am, but for decades.
I mean, Sunday school, they told us about David and Goliath and that he was a giant, but they didn't give us any information as to why. And I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
So
somehow the DNA, where the DNA has this prevalent ability to have these giant traits or these Nephilim traits, survived the flood. And there's a lot of interesting podcasts that talk about it. Those are sometimes the most interesting podcasts. And a lot of guesswork. Sometimes they have good reasons for what hypotheses they believe. Some say, well, UFOs or fallen angel technology collected some of them up. Some say underground caves that could survive enough air. Some say maybe fallen angels did the same thing after the flood, which is kind of a bummer to think about, that more angels wouldn't have learned their lesson by then. One topic is, would angels fall again after knowing the consequences for doing that? And some say the answer is yes.
Right.
So...
that's true. It's trivia to think about, that's for sure.
With all that being said, a lot of people say, but Bigfoot are not the Nephilim. Okay. The more I hear, the more I think, yeah, they're not the Nephilim. But... are they descendants of it somehow? Maybe.
Yeah, and are they good? Like, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a video presentation about a group that's up in Portland that meets with Bigfoot and their encounters with Bigfoot. I can't remember what it's called. That was really good, and sorry. But I remember them saying that Bigfoot said that they are guardians of the land and of I don't know what else, but I need to go watch that again. But I thought that was really interesting. It's like we're trying, you know, we hear about good ones and we hear about ones that seem really fierce and make you afraid kind of thing. And yeah,
true. Well, that's so true. What about the
A
one?
Flash of Beauty, that's what it was.
Oh, A Flash of Beauty.
A Flash of Beauty, yeah, a podcast I saw with one of the people from it, the second one, I think.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The first one, A Flash of Beauty, Bigfoot revealed. I'll make a correction on that if I need to. And the second one, I have the poster right behind me. A Flash of Beauty.
Oh, cool.
Paranormal Bigfoot. those are so good. My favorites. So yeah, you're right. It is mentioned in there. So, good and bad, Bigfoot. Okay, we've heard that. Okay, this proves that we're going to talk about Bigfoot every episode, no matter what the actual subject is we're trying to get to. But Bigfoot, there's so much I could say about good and evil. We know that a lot of Bigfoot clans, families, try to stay secret, try to stay private. We've heard that sometimes a Bigfoot will get kicked out of the clan and become a rogue Bigfoot. I hypothesize that these Bigfoot aren't as nice because, well, one, they got kicked out of the family group. Not even a Bigfoot clan wanted them. So they're out roaming around connecting with other Bigfoots that got kicked out. So their sense of law and rule, you know, they're probably going to be a bit more violent. There's also the idea that the star people, there's heritage The Indians talk about it a lot. American Indians, Native Americans,
Mm-hmm.
talk about this a lot. Now, if we could join a tribe and go into the lodge and hear these stories,
Oh,
we
yeah.
would know a lot. We'd also be sworn
Yeah,
to
really.
secrecy. So then still the world wouldn't know. So I was saying the star people would come and take the young juveniles away for a time and bring them back. I imagine it was like a field trip, but also maybe some basic training, some boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
I feel to teach them things that maybe God didn't intend, and those become more educated in the evil. And why do I say this? Well, because as a Bigfoot gets older and becomes the alpha male, they are more mean. And the female, the mother, the wife, always more caring, protective of humans and the younger juvenile Bigfoot.
Right.
And then
Yeah.
you have the juvenile that's a prankster, probably the one throwing rocks at you. And lots of stories from people I know about that we'll get to someday.
Yeah.
Okay, let's then talk about how some have said God creates all kinds of different beings, angels and beings. So what if God specifically created Bigfoot people, Bigfoot creatures to protect? Does that mean he just creates them and puts them somewhere? Or did he somehow have DNA stuff happening where they're actually born because certain things or having sex with other certain things? Would God do that? Or were they just in the Garden of Eden? Who knows? I hypothesize not, because there were one set of humans. Humans are humans. So back to Bigfoot being human or not. I personally think there's a variation of Bigfoot that is part human. And that's why a lot of them look like Native Americans. And if,
Yeah, some of them, their faces are so human looking.
yeah, the
The pictures that we see or videos, yeah.
David Pilates, am I saying that right? Okay, his book, and I'll put it in the notes, the book, but his research in California, where he had a sketch artist, a professional, and they would do sketches, and they looked like Bigfoot, but their faces looked Native American, which makes sense. The Hoopa tribe. That makes sense because Native Americans live around there. So does that mean breeding with human Native Americans?
Well,
Or.
isn't there tales from the Native Americans of them taking their young women and having children with them? Or I don't know if I heard what was true, but I thought I had heard that.
That they would take people, they would take things, they would have wars. There's a thought that the Native Americans were able to fight them off enough to have them be less,
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
then that would presume that these Bigfoot creatures decided humans are too good at killing us, even though we have almost every advantage out in the woods. So now we're going to be more secretive. So why were those Bigfoots, or Bigfoot people, or creatures, why would they be so bold as to trade with human American Indians and maybe marriages, definitely stealing people from time to time? There are stories where parents would tell their Native American children, don't go out into the forest alone.
Oh, yeah.
The skookum, the spirit, the skookum chuck, is going to get you. Now, some people who are against that say, well, wouldn't any parent say the boogeyman's going to get you just to make sure the kids don't go out into the dangerous forest? Well, but it's such a prominent thing. And besides that, Bigfoot is on their totem poles. Most people don't know this, but one of those faces is the Bigfoot phenomena.
Yeah, that's cool.
We just never knew it. Again, something we never knew, but is there all the time.
Yeah.
And
And then we hear stories about giants. I can't remember the name of the caves that the giants would steal the Native Americans and eat them. So the Native Americans got them in a cave and set fire, and they died. All the giants died. Not that there were a lot of them in there, but it's kind of trippy to think about. There were giants, there were Bigfoot.
Lovelock Caves, Utah.
Yeah, right.
Right. Thank you. Shout out Tony Merkel and the Confessionals podcast and Blurry Creatures podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe Sasquatch Chronicles some. But true. And those giants may have been even more human than Bigfoot because a lot of them were red-haired and looked like just giant people, big people. Again, when every time I say giant, I would want people in their mind to be thinking about 8 foot tall. They can think what they want. That's fine because some things we just don't know.
And it's weird because I've seen, I mean, we don't know if it's AI or real photographs, but they look like real photographs of giant people, really nice people, dressed up to the nines, having a photograph with these people of average size. I mean, I've seen so many of those photographs. It's like, so they're really nice giants, or is that a different kind of human? You know what I mean? Not tainted with Nephilim stuff, but just. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like maybe like 100 years ago, 100+ years ago, that long ago. Where did those people go? If they were just nice.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. I have so much to ask my contact who actually has conversations with Bigfoot people. And
That's
I need to
cool.
ask a lot of this, and we'll get to her soon. She has said yes to podcasting.
Awesome.
So,
Yay.
yep. Another thing I wanted to clear up was I said Wes Germer of Sasquatch Chronicles wouldn't want to see a Bigfoot again, as Tony Merkel would, because Tony Merkel hasn't seen one yet. Tony Merkel of the
Right.
Confessionals. Well, Wes Germer has said he wouldn't mind seeing one again as long as it was a long ways away and like if he was in a tank.
Oh,
Also, something
yeah.
that affects his answer is he's already seen one. In fact, two or three. I mean, his first encounter was scary, so much so
Yeah.
he created Sasquatch Chronicles, the podcast.
Yeah.
So I wanted to clarify that. Where previously I said Wes Grimmer wouldn't want to see one again. No, he probably
Right.
would, and I think he did say he would. He just wouldn't want it to be face to face at all, but very far away, very safe.
Yeah.
Okay,
Right.
you wanted to make a somewhat of a correction. The last
Oh
episode, you
yeah.
said something was really old.
The St. Peter's Basilica, we were talking about angels, and I said it's been there for 2,000 years, but I guess the current basilica has only been there since the 1500s, 1600s. I mentioned, all the angels, and did they really see them, or where did they get their ideas for it? One more correction was Mom's haunted house, where I said we had to live there while our home was being finished. I was think we were thankful we had a place to stay, but the factor of it being a haunted house and having to spend the night there for 3 weeks was scary, and that's all.
Yes, you wanted just to make sure everyone knew you were grateful for living there.
Yeah.
Let's take a break as I get a power cord.
Okay.
Okay, just a minute. Okay, let's talk about your paranormal journey. We're calling it your paranormal prequel. A lot of it is current, some of it is from before. So let's get started. We
Okay.
want to talk about the roses.
Okay. We've lived here in this house for almost 20 years, and from the beginning, we've had this rose bush that my husband at the time planted, and so now it's like 19 years old or so, and it's so awesome. It has orange roses, and it smells so good, and I pass by it when I go to get in my car, you know, in the driveway, and I usually say, tell it how beautiful it is or how much I appreciate it. And one day, about 2 years ago, it was nearing springtime, and it was really big. It was way over my head. It was so tall. And I'm like considering trimming it because I know I need to do it now before it gets growing, you know, in springtime. And I was just standing there, you know, thinking about it and wondering. And then I went in the house and I was walking down the hallway, and then all of a sudden I heard in my mind, just let me grow. And I was like, whoa, okay. It was like somebody just talked straight to my mind. And I just sort of like, when I was kind of in the house, like, I'll just deal with this later. So it was totally unexpected when that happened, and I had to laugh because it was just kind of, it was cool, you know, and that kind of got me off the hook. I'm like, I'll just let you grow this year. You'll just get bigger. And but it just made me laugh because I wasn't expecting that. And yeah.
It must not know that by trimming it, that means the resources and the water from the ground can better get to the areas that do need to flourish.
But right, you know, when we talk like that, it's like, well, did I really hear it? You know, but I feel like I did because it was so unexpected and out of the blue. Or maybe it was something else, but it seemed like it was, I thought of the roses when I heard that, and it just made me laugh. So, but yeah, you're right.
Before I give a hypothesis of what might be going on, did it happen again?
I try to put Epsom salts. I have three rose bushes, but I try to put Epsom salts every year out at the base of the rose bushes to help them every year. And I hadn't done it yet, but I was planning on it. And I was just sitting in my room, and I was just thinking about working in the flower bed, you know, digging it up, you know, and in my mind, I saw myself, you know, digging in the rose bush. And then all of a sudden, the rose bush goes, where's my salt? And I had to laugh out loud. It was so funny because I hadn't done it yet. And I tell it, I know I'm not perfect. You know, I'm doing the, you know, best I can. I'm not an expert rose grower person, you know, but it just made me laugh. It still makes me laugh when I think about it because it's so funny.
Someday you'll pull up the plant and find this little person underneath that's talking to you.
Creepy, maybe, yeah.
maybe with a little speaker device.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because it's, well, the couple times it's communicated, it's kind of been the same kind of feeling and the same kind of voice in my head. Like, it just makes a statement, you know, about stuff. And and it just is so funny, and I love it. So
that's cool.
I look forward to more, you know.
Well, it could be, yeah. It could just be that we do know plants or trees do scream. I don't know how, but
right,
we've heard that,
right.
They have a response. What they don't, it doesn't feel good when they're cut down. So,
yeah.
So this could be a thing. Now, if we think deeper about how could this happen, is it possible? And this isn't very likely. Is it possible that, I mean, how do other spirits talk to us? And we have to be careful if it's a spirit,
right,
or a bad spirit talking to us. And do good or bad spirits even have permission to be talking to us? I think God,
right,
really went out of his way for the dead, those in heaven, those in hell, aren't, in general, aren't talking to us. I think that's something he doesn't want. I think he wants that to be separate. So is a spirit gone rogue messing with you? Okay.
Right, or like in the Bible it says, if no one will praise the Lord, even the rocks will cry out, you know. So that makes me wonder if there's maybe more to this creation, you know.
If the rocks can cry out, could the trees and the plants?
Yeah, and so some people feel like, well, I like talking to trees. I have a really nice one, like, behind our fence that I just love, and I just tell it how much I appreciate it. And I don't think I've really heard anything from it, but I know some people say that they hear things from trees. So yeah, but like what you're saying, yeah, is that really the tree? Is it something else? So yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes
I never felt scary about the roses. It just was kind of comical and kind of uplifting in a way, you know, just kind of fun and silly and
good. From time to time, I'll talk to a tree myself. We have weeds that grow in the surrounding portion of our yard that are actually like beautiful pine trees.
Oh.
And so I let them grow while they're small. But eventually I have to kill them because the housing association doesn't want that. And the neighbor doesn't want trees damaging the stone wall that separates our properties. So, but every time I say... I say, you're beautiful. I'm sorry. God bless you.
Yeah.
As I have to.
I
then,
like that.
Then
that's
cool. I've noticed that when things reveal themselves to you or speak to you visually or audibly, you don't ever seem to be scared. Why do you think that is?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I know, I guess it just, yeah, I don't know why that is. I'm thankful. That's a good question.
When the oppressed type spirit at mom's haunted house was vexing on you, were you scared then?
I was surprised and I was really irritated because it was more like there was a Karen in the house and I was just fed up with it. With its attitude. And I just wanted to get, because it was like, get out of here. What are you doing here? And I'm just like, hey, I'm supposed to be here. Who are you? You know?
Okay.
I didn't say that, but I'm just like, because my kids were around, I'm just in my mind, I'm just in my spirit, I'm just like that. And it just made me so aggravated, which I'm thankful for, because I didn't want to feel scared. But just the idea that it happened and what it looked like in my mind, which I still need to draw a picture, you know, it's just so bizarre. I was thankful that I just felt angry and frustrated at it. Like, I just want to get away from you. You're so annoying, you know?
Yeah.
But thankfully I never saw it again. I don't know. Yeah.
Interesting how some things happen once or just twice. So for those listening who don't know about Karen, I learned recently myself that it's a generic term meaning a woman that's kind of a nag. I think that's what that means.
Yeah.
Our apologies to all Karen.
A busybody and thinks she knows what's going on and usually screaming or yelling.
So there was one Karen out there once upon a time that really ruined it for the rest of the Karens.
Yeah.
So tell me about the glowing man.
Have you ever just been out shopping or whatever and you just feel something that's really great? Like you, one time I had, well, for example, I was at the store and I felt this really wonderful, I don't know if it's like light, but I mean, I just could feel it in my body that there was something behind me that was really great and I needed to turn around and look. And there was this lady behind me, maybe a little older than me, you know, long black curly hair with a purple shirt. She looked like a native Hawaiian, you know, type person. And I didn't say anything, but I was just like, wow, you are, you know, in my mind, I'm like, you are so bright and shiny, like whatever you're doing, like, is she praying to God a lot? You know, I didn't know what it was. I just loved it. And I wanted to ask, what are you doing? Or what? Cause it's just so noticeable. Like a bright light was shining out of her, though I didn't see it with my eyes. You know, I could feel it. I thought that was cool. Well, so I was at another store with mom and grocery shopping at Winco, if I could say, and all the aisles, you go up and down and you keep passing the same people, you know, and you go, and I was by myself. Mom was in another part of the store, and I saw this man from down, he was a ways down the aisle, and he was really tall, and he was blonde, and he was just dressed in regular clothes, but he was smiling, and he was just glowing. Like, I felt so good just looking at him. Like, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but I like wondered if he was even human or what is he doing, because I had never been around anybody that had that much beauty, like it was a light just beaming out of him, and it went, and it just sort of, he passed me and it just sort of absorbed into me, you know, and I felt so good. And I'm like, and he looked me right in the eyes, you know, and he smiled really warmly. And I was like, oh, I hope I pass them again. You know, it was just so much light and energy, if I can say it that way. And I wasn't like attracted to them, you know, like, you know what I mean? It was just like, I felt loved. I felt like there was something more going on with whoever this was. I passed him again on another aisle, and I'm like, when I caught up with mom, I'm like, mom, did you see the glowing man? You know, and she had it, you know, and then he was gone. And we still had lots of shopping left to do, and I was disappointed because I wanted to actually, I waved at him, you know, and he waved back. But that was just so cool. I just had to know more. I hoped I could pass him again just because of all the good, warm feelings of like unconditional love almost. Just it just like permeated into me. And I just thought that was cool. And I haven't seen anything like that since.
And you were a child.
And I was what?
You were a child.
Oh, no. This was like 2 Christmases ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just before Christmas.
I don't think you could make that up in your head. Like, oh, that person's so different. And then for all those other feelings and emotions to come up suddenly.
Yeah.
And never before and never since then. So to me, that does sound unique to this moment. And I think if it was an angel, it was the good kind, because if it was the bad kind, and we have heard Satan can be like an angel of light, and you know, it's good that demons often show themselves to be horrible and scary, because Satan is actually smart and would want to present himself as something beautiful, like, oh, these drugs make you feel good. He doesn't tell you, oh yeah, they're gonna kill you. And so Satan can look beautiful, but I think if Satan's gonna look beautiful, it's because he wants something negative for your life.
Yeah.
And this being didn't want anything more from you, but maybe to encourage you.
Yeah, I wondered, like, why did I get to have this experience? And I can only think that it was just to encourage me, and I appreciate that.
I think that's a gift to have had an experience like that, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you saw a being or something at your workplace. Was it as positive as this?
Yeah. I could share. It was positive, but I was taken aback at first. I appreciated the message it had for me. So I work at a private school, a religious private school, and at the time it was about to, not this school year, but the previous one. And at the time I only have to go get my work done after school before school starts the next day. So I have a pretty free schedule of whenever to come in. So I was coming in really late, like, 9 o'clock at night or whatever, and nobody was there. And I did my job on the first floor, and I didn't see that many people at work. And for some reason, I was wondering, am I doing a good job? Will anybody tell me if I'm doing a good job? I mean, I'm a grown-up adult, I don't need anybody to tell me that. But for some reason, I did. I felt like I really wanted to hear, oh, yeah, you're doing fine. But I wasn't going to go ask somebody. So I just prayed, God, please tell me how I'm doing. Somehow. And so I was up the upstairs, and I was walking down the hall, this really long hall, and then all of a sudden I passed something. All of a sudden there was something there as soon as I passed it, and it was right near the janitor closet, and I was in shock because it was like it was physically there, and I could see it, but I couldn't. It was kind of like the angel deal. But I felt its presence so strong, but I didn't know what it was. So I just hurried up and I went in the janitor closet and I closed the door and it locked, so I felt safe, but it was just out there, like right through the wall into the hallway sort of thing. And I'm like, so I'm just quiet and I'm thinking, okay, just because I don't know what it is, doesn't mean it's bad. So I kept telling myself that. And I was praying, God help me, what is this? And I was in there for a while, 5 minutes at least, trying to calm down because, my heart rate went up. I was alone, other than that thing I saw out there. And so while I was in the closet, I was like, okay, what did I see? Okay, it was taller than me, maybe, 6'5" or whatever. I later realized it gave me an impression, or I got an impression of what it felt like later, what it was. But it's like the message was, you're doing fine, chin up. That was its message. This is not a way I talk. It's not a way I talk. But it was like an older person just being encouraging, and then they move on, It was like almost business-like. Yeah, and but at the time, I'm like, I was really confused. I'm like, in my mind, I was seeing like Piranha. I can't remember his name on Mario games, but it was a really tall, really green. It appeared to me like a plant, like a flower. It had a really big, and I know that sounds silly, but that's what I saw in my mind, was this plant, and with a really big flower on top. And then later, as I was going home, it's like, I'm so confused. Okay, a plant came to me. Okay, and then I saw this man, this older man, and he had a brown preppy shirt, what it was called, with the collars you can turn up.
Polo.
He was a polo. He was wearing a brown polo and pants. He looked like he was a teacher, that it could have been a teacher there. And I thought it'd be fun to look at previous pictures of teachers. Not that it was, but I was just so blessed by that. Other than the initial shock of it, I was like, thank you God. I was so touched that when you're praying for something and maybe it seems silly, but your prayers get answered in a way you weren't expecting, but it still happened. And I just felt so good, and I'm like, okay, chin up, I'm doing fine. thank you for that.
That is so encouraging. Yeah. Tell me, was the plant 6'5" or the man?
Yeah, they were both the same height.
Okay.
It was just, that's what I saw in my mind when I first passed to, all of a sudden it was there.
So it could have been anything.
And then I kind of got this feeling of this man, and I don't understand, but I wonder if it changed to help me somehow understand or accept it better.
Right. We've already heard you say things have talked to you through things, or had you perceive things you're comfortable with, like a rose.
And
earlier you mentioned a possible Bigfoot woman talking to you, but giving you images in your mind of things of nature, things that you make you comfortable. We probably also mentioned their stories of if you see a very odd squirrel or raccoon or something walking on two legs, or an owl that's too tall and walking like it shouldn't be. Is it aliens making your mind think you're seeing a raccoon, but they can't fully make it look realistic because they're trying to cover the fact that you're actually seeing an alien? Now, as I say that, I've only heard that in like two podcasts. So I don't mean to say it's a big time real thing, but I can say that people have experienced it. So what I'm saying is, whatever this was, again, was trying to give you images of comfort as to not scare you. And we know when angels come to people in the Bible or in, I almost said in real life, but no, the Bible is real life. But in our present day is what I mean. When people have an angel encounter, the angels often say, do not be afraid. Well, of course they have to say that because it's so out of this world, crazy and amazing and big. And like when people see Bigfoot, they say, it's like I saw something I wasn't meant to see. That's how weird it was. So I get the comfort angle. And again, if it was Satan, then the comfort would have led to something negative. And in this case, it only encouraged you. Well,
that was really interesting and unique.
I'll be looking for teachers at your place of work that sometimes wear a brown polo, and maybe they're 6'5". Now, it's possible they were 6'5", because that was the projection, the bigness of the entity or the power source or whatever helped create that moment. Maybe the actual person represented wasn't 6'5" when they were alive, but the entity was, but these images that you could accept weren't necessarily. See, like the plant was 6'5" only because the entity was, where if the entity had been 4 feet tall, the plant would have been 4 feet tall.
So, I have another thing to draw a picture of.
I can't wait for these pictures. I can't wait for these pictures. I'll as you know, I'm doing a website page in the Bigfoot Eruption subsite called Fallen Eruption, and I will put those pictures there.
Okay.
So this is pretty great. And a good time to have you share about your current boyfriend seeing a deceased person multiple times.
He didn't see him, but Dad, it feels like Dad interacted with him. And so I can just share. It was like when we first got started knowing each other a couple years ago. And he lives in another town, and he has a cat, and he has these bubbles that he blows. Like, they're not just like regular, like bubbles for kids, but these kind of bubbles, you blow them and they stay intact for a really long time. Like, they'll float and then they'll go land on something and you'll see them there the next day, kind of thing. So he would, you know, his cat like batting them around in the air and whatever. Well, he had done that earlier in the evening with his cat, and he noticed there was a bubble floating around like half an hour, 45 minutes later in the air, and it was just sitting there. It wasn't moving, and there's a picture of me on the table in front of him, and he said he remembers in his mind hearing me say, "I miss my dad," in my voice in his mind, and he said, I had him type it out. He said after he looked at my picture and he heard me say that, he asked the stray bubble floating completely still in the air, if that is you, Heidi's dad, land on my hand. And it did. and then he said, I then responded to the bubble and said, don't worry, I'll take care of her. So, he just felt like dad showed up in that moment. And yeah, you know, someone could say, oh, that's silly, but it was really profound to him. And he took a picture of the bubble and it's where it landed in his hand, you know, that I'll send you. I just thought that was neat. He really felt like dad was communicating with him. So, yeah.
Yeah. Draw a picture of that bubble for us. Okay.
Yeah. I actually have a photograph of it. So, of it being in his hand with my picture on the table in front of him. So
good job being ready.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Nice.
So that was sweet. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is great. And great for your relationship. Yeah. Great for your relationship with your boyfriend.
Right.
So our dad possibly communicating with your current boyfriend happened once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us your big story?
Okay.
When you were not married, mm-hmm. so therefore before you had kids, in your case, you were done with your earlier school days and were pursuing a business college. Why don't you tell us what happened?
I'm not sure if I'm 56 or 57 now, but this has happened about when I was 20 years old. And it was like retelling some of these stories to you where this popped into my mind because I had blocked it out. And that was really overwhelming at first. But I'm like, oh, whoa, you know, I remembered the ending part of the story. I could share that. And then I'm like, oh, the first part of the story.
Oh, wait, there's
more. Should I share that? I probably should, because if it happened to anyone else, maybe it will help them knowing they're not alone. I am still trying to figure out what really happened. Like, I talked to my counselor about it the other day, and my boyfriend, he talked to ChatGPT, which is amazing. It's like a counselor, the way it talks to you. And I talked to it about it to prep myself for today. And that was helpful. I was working in a restaurant at the time, and I was going to, so in Albany, I was working in Albany. I was going to Trent Business College in Salem. To save money, there was a person that also went, and he said, why don't we carpool to save money? And there were a couple other people our age that they would pick up. And he had said that before that he had a spirit guide and that it helped him. And, you know, you don't just back in the late 80s, you know, or early 90s, you just don't hear people back, at least my age group back then, talking about that kind of thing. So anyway, so, you know, being back then, being kids, being silly, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, it's time to drop you off. Do you want to go and smoke some pot up on Palestine Cemetery? You know, we could look at the view, you know. And he was just like sort of an acquaintance, like we weren't really close, but he seemed really nice, and I felt like I could trust them, and I didn't have any red flags. So I'm like, okay. So we go up there and we do that, and then so looking at this story later, I'm like, I wonder if it was laced with something, because this story is so weird. He said, we were just sitting there in the car in the dark and just talking. And then we did that. And then he says, my spirit guide wants to communicate with you, so I'll be back. So it was like, he left. He like went, I don't know where he went, but then somebody else started talking
through him
out of his body. Oh, yeah. Okay. And he said that he was his spirit guide. And, Like, I think we were up there an hour, but when I tell it to you, it's going to sound really fast. But he said, you were my, you know, he touched my arm, and then I felt this tingle go up my arm, and I threw my whole body, and, like, I couldn't move. I was, like, paralyzed. I was sitting there. And I was just, like, going, what's happening? This is weird. And then he's like, you used to be my wife in a previous life. And I'm just kind of like, huh? And then it was like I had a movie playing in front of me, like a cross-section of a house, like in kids' books. You know, they show a two-story home. There's a mom doing something in the kitchen. The dad's sitting in the living room smoking a pipe, and the kid's upstairs playing with his toys in his room, you know. And I saw myself cooking, and, you know, that was supposed to be me, and there he was, you know. And he's like, and this is the embarrassing part. He's like, I really missed you a lot, and I really missed you in an intimate way. And I'm just like, okay. I was just sort of paralyzed there. And I don't know how long we were there. And we both had our clothes on, and we were both in our seats. But my body started moving, and I wasn't doing it. And he was still in the seat, like, it was moving like somebody was having sex with me. And that's really, I felt so violated, even though my clothes were on. This is a weird thing. I didn't know if this was spirits. I didn't know if he had, like, why was this happening? Yes, was this, because I had tried pot before, and I had tried it after, and I never had this experience before. I was trying to figure this out, and I felt so, even though there was no, you know, it felt like it was happening, and I felt violated, and that was yucky, and it's embarrassing to talk about, but I didn't, I was only there. I couldn't get out of the car. I couldn't leave. I don't know how long that lasted. I know it's weird to hear.
Right.
And then he was still the spirit guide guy. And he talked about stuff, other things that I don't remember. And then he said, hey, you want to go on a journey? And I'm just there. I'm like in shock, you know, because I don't know what's going on here. So like he takes my arm in my mind, and he's pulling on my arm, and he's above me in the air. And yes, this could see, so in telling this, it sounds so ridiculous. It sounds so weird. This is just the real, what the experience felt like to me. If the pot was laced with some kind of drug or something, I don't know if this guy had ulterior motives and he was acting, though I don't know how these different things were happening. If it was just the guy and not a spirit of some kind. Because spirit guides are generally to, and you know what we hear, oh, they're to help people. They're not to do this sort of thing. Yeah, I was your husband and I missed you, baby, you know, kind of thing. Well, he pulled on my arm in my mind or in whatever was happening. And I'm like, no, I'm going down. I'm going down, like into the ground kind of thing. And so they were concerned at that point, and then they're like, and then they're pulling on me, and then they're like, okay, we're good now. Where do you want to go? And I'm like, my close friend, lived nearby. And I just said, I didn't know what to say. I just said, how about their house? So supposedly we floated up in the sky and went to her house, and I saw her sitting on the couch in the basement of her house, you know, watching TV, wearing certain clothes. And I asked her about it later if she was wearing those and was she doing that at that time. And she was, and was wearing those clothes. But I had blocked out this memory for so long because I don't want to tell this to anybody.
Right.
You know, it's weird. It's embarrassing. You know, I'm so, so thankful I was protected, that nothing more happened or anything. And since I mean, because I was young and I don't know, I started driving myself to school after that, but I wanted to talk to that guy, spirit guy, because I for some reason, I wanted to. It's like, you didn't give me a chance. You know, you took advantage of me. You know, if you're going to, you know, you need to talk to somebody when they are sober mind, you know, all this stuff, but I didn't get that opportunity that he never surfaced. So it's just so weird. And I saw the guy at the store like years later, and I just felt so sick to my stomach. Like I wanted to throw up because I remembered. And yeah, so I'm thankful I haven't seen them. I don't know what their ulterior motives were, because at the end of this whole thing, he didn't remember anything. He's just like, oh yeah. Like, I don't know if he had multiple personalities. I didn't know. So.
Right. At the beginning of this story, you said that he said, I'll be right back. As if he knew he was about to go away and something else was coming. So that part he presumably knew, unless him saying that was actually the spirit saying it. Which means it was all a sham. I mean, like it was a spirit controlling, coming from, we've heard this before, where demon-possessed people, the demon, I'm not saying this was a demon, but the demon or spirit is in there waiting, letting the person act normal until the spirit wants to act out through them. We've heard.
Or was he working with the spirit? Did the spirit tell him to tell me before, you know, a week or 2 weeks or however long before that he had one? So, like, in my mind, when he said, because I didn't know this was going to happen at that night, you know, it like prepared my mind in some way, because I hadn't heard that much about spirit guides at the time, but I had only heard that they were to help people. I didn't want one for myself, you know, based on our upbringing and just trying to be safe and protected and not getting into stuff we were told, you know, we shouldn't go there, and it's probably bad, right? Like, he prepared my mind. And so when he appeared, I don't know, like, my mind was just like, okay, I don't know if I'm making sense. Like, the fact that he told me before that he had one and then it presented itself was just so weird. I don't know. Yeah.
Right. So you think the whole time you were in a vehicle, a car, you weren't on a picnic blanket?
Yeah, in their car. Yeah, we were in the front seat of their car, in bucket seats, separate, you know, with a stick shift in between us kind of thing.
So
just looking at the view at nighttime.
So when you said you were violated sexually by something, there wasn't room in the car physically for it to have actually happened physically, but was in the mind, you think?
Yeah, and my body was, you know, if the pot was laced with some other drug, I don't know. But it was like my body was moving in a rhythmic way that I wasn't telling it to do that. It was like some other force was doing it, and that made me feel violated. Even though my clothes were on, I was like disgust. It was so disgusting, you know. It's like, I didn't say that this was okay.
We've heard over and over again, drugs are like an opening. It can open you up to other things. I think it's a way of letting your guard down. That dominion that we have over the earth that I mentioned earlier, I think we lay that down, we surrender it, we allow an opening for spirits. Spirits need an invitation, and we do it unknowingly. That's why Ouija boards are dangerous. And so to say perhaps lies about, hey, I used to know you once, and now I want to be intimate. We've heard that spirits or demons, they possess because they once had a body and want to enjoy the fruits of the flesh through a human again. So in this case, the sex was real, but not possibly from the actual guy in the car, but real in the mind, which is real enough, surely, and traumatic enough. So for a spirit to want, and then to float with you, your body, okay, stayed in the car. We've heard this before. Satanists do it sometimes. I'm not saying you're a Satanist. I think they trained like special operatives to do this, where they can leave their body temporarily and go somewhere else. So there's so much more to learn about that, and you experienced it that night. The drugs, DMT, evidently takes people to a place almost like a portal. People, when interviewing lots of people that experience creatures and oddities after taking DMT, the stories are very similar, as if they're all going to the same place, like through a brain portal of sorts.
That's amazing.
So, I think it's totally possible. You've said it like three times. There may have been something in the drugs. I say definitely there was something in the drugs.
And did they know that? Did they do that on purpose? Or were they working with the spirit? I don't know. You know, I have all these questions.
I think this guy had experienced similar things before, and for him it was a trip. And so he introduced the drugs, and he to have that kind of drugs, I think he would have had to have known. Now, for him to come back later and say, "Whoa, I don't remember any of it," well, that would explain that another being, a spirit entity, was in control, and he was just kind of in the background, checked out. Why is that fun for him to not experience any of it? I don't know. But it does show maybe a controlling spirit of sorts had him. Now, such things somehow were made known enough to where you were asked to leave our house. Now, we lived in the house where we said there was a haunted basement. We also know that there was activity upstairs because of spirits that our younger sister was talking to. Okay, that's Albany, Oregon. After that house, our mom lived in Lebanon, Oregon, in a manufactured home. We call that the haunted house. Okay, so at the time this happened, you were living in the haunted basement house in Albany, Oregon. You were asked to leave, and you end up with a girl that I think you met at church in what I'm now going to call the witch house. And this scared you bad enough, and Mom believed you. She let you come back home. That's what I remember. Now, this is what I remember. If I'm getting some of that wrong, well, the truth is, to be true, is a fact. At some point, you lived in a house with a different girl that you met because you weren't living at home anymore. And it was a small house just outside of Albany, country road. And at one point, because of her use, I think, of a Ouija board, things in the house started floating around.
Wow, I totally must have blocked this out.
Okay. Now, for me to remember this, it probably happened. Because it's really stamped on my mind. And I'm grateful you don't remember. But it also shows how your brain may have been vulnerable. Who knows why? Susceptible. There's lots of things getting blocked. Horrible memories being blocked. I'm wondering if horrible memories, horrible things, is why somehow you have the ability to hear the voices, to see the angels. What do you think?
Yeah, that could be.
Just think of something so traumatic happened to you that gave you the ability to experience these things, but so traumatic you block it out.
Now, I've wondered at times, what else am I not remembering?
Right.
Do I want to know?
So the situation had happened when you were about 20. So was this the moment? The drugs were so laced with something powerful that it fissured something in your brain that kind of opened you up to the other side of that veil.
Well, at the time, well, before I moved out or was asked to leave, I don't remember, but I listened to, like, well, I don't know what they call it. We called it, it was like college radio alternative music. And some of it was, you know, death like music. I can't, it's like,
yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to remember what they call the people nowadays when you dress in black.
Gothic.
You know, goth, yeah. It goth. Was like the original goth music kind of scene. And I had posters on my wall in the basement, you know. And I had, you know, cassettes and all this stuff and listened to that music. And I came home one day and mom was throwing away my music and taking the posters down, you know, because she wanted a godly home, you know, and she didn't want that stuff in there. And I don't know if we came to some agreement. Like, they knew some, because the church this girl's family went to, I only attended occasionally, but mom and dad and you, I think, went there more. And this family was there, and she was the daughter, and we were about the same age. And I think mom or dad heard about her having a place that I could move in and share the rent. And I didn't know her before. I might have met her, but she was just pretty much a stranger to me. So, yeah.
That's it. That's that situation.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing. Let's continue thinking on these things. And as we have ideas or thoughts, let's write them down. We'll talk about it again.
Okay.
I think it's...
Yeah, thanks for sharing that stuff was floating around. Maybe my memory will be, you know...
Yeah.
Remember some things.
Yes. And apologies. We were going to finish with the story about your boyfriend having the bubble in his hand to finish on a more positive note, so I apologize.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, thank you. It's good to talk about these things and not hold them all inside. And
wow. Well,
thank you for letting me and hearing some of the weird stuff and for still liking me and being my brother. So.
Well, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks again for sharing. I'm glad it's going to be a positive.
Yeah, thank you.